praise God. You can't do anything better.
Yes, it is.
And you can't praise God too much. It's impossible.
Amen.
Because he's always worthy
to
be praised.
Oh, yes.
Amen. He is worthy of all your praise. And so you don't ever have to worry about, am I praising him too much? You can't do it. It's not possible. Amen. Whatever you're praising for, he's got some more things already in progress in your life. Amen. That's what I have found out about God. Amen. And he may not come when you want him, like the song says there, but he's always right on time. Amen. And so he's always able to do more than you can ask or think, exceeding and abundantly, as it says there. Amen. But without any further delay, we've had kind of a good theme going today in all of our studies from Sunday school, for those of you who were here. And so we'll kind of bleed over into the morning subject here today as we take a look at some verses from the Old Covenant in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Verses 1 through 10, and we're going to take a look into the epistle to the Philippians in the New Testament. Y'all know we've been kind of stuck in Philippians here, which is a good place to be stuck. Amen. It's a very, very good place to be stuck. And spend time there, meditate in God's law. Remember what God told Joshua? He said, if you will meditate in my law day and night, he said, and let this word, book of the law, not depart from out of your mouth, in other words, but meditate therein day and night. He says, then that way you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And so that's why we do this. People say, well, are we church fanatics? Well, if you want to call us that, that's okay. I can accept that. I've been called worse. Let me say that. I have been called some worse stuff. You know, I've been called a Bible thumper and I've been called all kind of stuff. But I don't mind a little persecution for the name of Christ. I don't know where you stand on that.
Amen.
You know, and I'm sure it's going to get worse. I always tell them, if you think I'm bad now, give me another little bit of time here, and you're going to find out it's going to get worse. Because I'm going to praise him some more.
Yes.
I'm going to study his word some more.
All right.
I'm going to call on his name some more. Yes. And if you're mad because he blessed me up to here, wait till you see what he got coming.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to be real mad in a minute.
Right.
You're going to really get mad when you, and you might as well turn around and get glad.
All right.
You know, because the Lord is, he has promised to bless me in spite of what the world thinks.
Yes.
In spite of what the world says. Mm-hmm. You know, people always make a lot of big, bold statements. Some of these people, I was listening to Brother Ray praying about those politicians fighting like little kids, mm-hmm. slinging mud, calling right. each other names.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know this is the most powerful nation on earth right now?
That's right.
Is that the best y'all can do? You know, and like some little kids, I'm going to take my marbles and go home. Are you kidding me? We need somebody who's strong
Amen.
And can stand up and see what this country
Amen.
Needs
Amen.
And where it fell from and how
Amen.
To get us back.
Amen.
See, we don't need people going tit for tat on craziness.
Yes.
But in either case, we're going to read what God said. This is where I get my strength.
All right.
Now, I don't know where you get yours, and I hope you get it from the same place.
Me too.
Amen. From the strength of his word. Amen.
That's right.
The word reinforces me.
Yes,
it makes me able to stand no matter how the winds of change
Amen.
Are blowing.
Amen.
And the storms of indifference, how it's shaking the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens all the time. But you can get your strength when you stand with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you know what God is doing.
Amen.
I always like to remind people, wicked governments is not a new thing. Governments have been wicked throughout the years. One of them crucified God's son, found him guilty.
Amen.
We'll talk about a wicked government.
100%
wrong.
Amen.
The creator came in and you found him guilty and had him slain on a tree in the public. So I don't think there is a more wicked government than that. You know, even the one we got is pretty bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Yes.
Let me say. But you know what? God knew that. God wasn't surprised by an evil government. God already knew if you let these people go with the deep depth of the sin in their hearts, they would even find me guilty if I show up and nail me to a tree. That's why he wrote it down in the book long before they ever did it. And he was not surprised. No one has ever surprised God. That's the great news about God. God's not surprised by people with a lot of money with a big mouth going around saying the kind of stuff they say. That didn't surprise him in the least. So don't you dare think for one minute that God does not have your back. Because in fact, I want to say to you today, he does. And there have been Christians longer than there have been Democrats and Republicans. And there will be when there are no more Dems and Republicans. When the heavens and earth are passed away, God said, my word will never pass away. Amen. So let's go ahead and get our feet into this because it is a good message. Today I want to talk to you from the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and read just the first 10 verses of chapter 28, that prolific chapter in the conclusion of the book of the law that the prophet Moses, the man of God, penned for us. And also from the apostle Paul, another one of my very good friends, who I respect very highly, the apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, as he wrote from the prison, no less. From a prison cell, he writes the words in Philippians 4. Let us listen carefully to the word of God. Amen.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Mm-hmm. And all those blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Mm. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou sittest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall bless it thee on an holy people unto him, as he had sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
My Lord, the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Amen. Amen. From the old covenant. And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Mm. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. We want to extract a thought for our message today, walking the peaceful path of favor. Amen. Walking the peaceful path of favor. That's almost a tongue twister. Walking the peaceful path of favor. I have to kind of get myself together to put those words together, all these P's here, the peaceful path of favor. Amen. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, God, that you are in our lives, Lord, and that we just thank you for being God all by yourself. Father, we need your strength. We find ourselves in various types of weakness, oh God. But we thank you that you said that you are a rock and a fortress and a shield and a strong tower from our enemies, oh God. And so, Father, we lean upon you. We call upon you. And Father, we ask you just to forgive us for anything that we did, Lord, that was not like you. And Father, we know that's the reason that you gave your son, is to cleanse us, oh God, from the unrighteousness that tends to prevail in our lives. And so, Father, we ask you, by the blood of Jesus, prepare us today, God. We know you gave him so that we could have this relationship where we can call upon your name. We can come boldly, you said in your word, before the throne of grace. And find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Yes. Father, we need you all the time, and we need you right now. Oh God, we ask you to minister to our spirit, Lord. Minister to our minds, oh God. Minister to our thought process, oh God. Minister to our bodies, oh Lord. We need you to touch us and heal us right now, God. Sometimes, Father, we have things in our flesh, God, that tend to make it difficult for us to take a stand for that which you have told us to do. So therefore, God, we want the healing to penetrate. You say the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It was dividing asunder soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Help us today, God, to understand how we can walk the peaceful path of favor, Lord, because you have chosen to give us favor and not justice. And so, Father, help us today. Whatever we need to do, strengthen every mind, every heart, every family, every group of people, oh God, whoever it is that we're associated with. Each one of us has people in our lives, Lord, that the others don't even know. And so help us in our circle of influence, God, in our own sphere of influence, those who we have an impact on in life, God. Let us be a light in the midst of darkness. Let us be a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. We call unto you, God, to show us your way. Oh, God, help us to walk the walk and walk the talk. Oh, God, and we give you praise right now. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Father, we need a special anointing just to hear what the Spirit said to the churches in these last and evil days. Help us today, God. Open our ears that your word might fall upon good soil and bring forth fruit to your glory even 100-fold. Because we need it, oh God. And we bless you right now. We ask you to be in the room, God, in our minds, in our hearts, by your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a very, very important thing for you and I to understand at a time in history like this. We live in a very unique time in history right now. We live in a time when people have set aside in the blessed land. I would tell you right now that on earth, America is the blessed land, the most blessed of any land that has ever been on the planet since the foundation of the world. Because we have more power, we have more technology, we have more finance. Now, our finance has been kind of going down the tube here because we've had some bad management over the years. That's one reason. Another reason is that we abandoned God as a culture about 50 years ago. We're seeing a lot of youth in our culture right now who don't have close relationships with God unless you happen to have been blessed to be brought up in a family where you were brought to church and Amen. Schooled in the things Amen. Of God, Amen. Where you learned the importance and the necessity of having the word of God in your mind, then you might have fallen through the cracks. A lot of our youth have fallen through the cracks of the vacuum that society left when they extracted the truth out of the center of public life. And that happened officially about 50 years ago. It started. Then it got worse and worse and worse all the way up to now. Political correctness is the so-called thing that prevails in the land.
Yeah.
And it makes people think they have privileges and rights that God has not given them. You know, it used to be that we had the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was for all people. You know, and now we've cast that even aside. Even the Constitution, that was the one of the most prestigious documents that's ever been crafted in the history of time to rule over and govern a people, to give them a foundation upon which to build a country, has been cast aside. So many things that are being done now don't even fall in line with the Constitution after the 50 years. And the big problem is God is not in the center anymore.
Amen.
Now, hopefully that's not true of you as an individual. But as a nation, our nation has abandoned the Most High God. And we say anything can be God. You know, that's what we say. And we say everything has equal place. Or that's your truth. But you know what? I want to tell you something about truth. It might be my truth, but there is only the truth. There is no your truth and my truth. Otherwise, that's a lie. Because two things can't be true. Something can't be wet and dry simultaneously. It's either wet or it's dry. It's either black or it's white. You know, there's opposites and contrast in everything. And it's impossible for this to be true or this to be true if they contradict one another. There's two different things. If I say this is one and this is one, you're going to say what? No, it's not. This is two. That's one. They can't be the same. So I want to let you know, truth, the term truth defies the possibility for there to be multiple truths in that sense, when we're talking about the sense of what is real and what God has ordained. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mediator between God and men. Now that cannot stand along with something else that says there are other ways to God. Somebody has got to be wrong. And you and I have to make a choice what we think is right. You know, and God's not going to force you to choose him. But as it was said by other spiritual leaders throughout the history of the people of God, the covenant people, Moses said, you need to choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? Same thing with Joshua as he led the children into the promised land. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods on the other side of the flood or the true God. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, so God gives you that choice. You can ignore him if you like. It'll be to your destruction, ultimately, if you continue that way. But it'll be to your benefit if you acknowledge him. That's why the Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not to your own understanding. Well, you know, Dion, I don't understand all that. Don't wait till you understand it. Trust God right now. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know what? That shows you right there, we don't know everything. Why do I need God to direct my path? Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know who's going to win the election. Not that I care, in one sense. Because whoever it is, God's going to be over you. You're only going to do what he lets you do. You can't do anything unless he allows you to do it. And you're going to be responsible for it, whoever you are. If you don't do right, God's going to be over you. And you will give him an answer. You may not tell me why you did it. And you know what? I don't care, in one sense. Because your account is your account. And mine is mine. That's why I like that song, Victory is Mine. Yeah. Why? Because I chose Jesus. And I told Satan, get thee behind me. See, so victory today, right now, is mine. I like that. That's a good song. See, so I can't make people believe. I never have wanted to do that. But I do want to persuade you. That's what my job is as a minister of the gospel. And God said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. You know, I don't hold back from anybody. I talk to people all over the planet, different times. I was online last night talking to someone in the Philippines. They said it was Sunday already over there. I said, wow, you got to be kidding me. And it was 8 o'clock here. Then I looked on Google Earth to see where it was. I said, wow, boy, and it blew my mind to see how much water was between us and where this guy was. I said, man, boy, that's amazing. And I sat there, it blew my mind just to look at it, to spin that globe around and see I'm in the middle of thousands of miles of real estate, and this dude is way out in the sea, over next miles from Japan, up north of Guam. He was like way out in the I said, oh my God. I looked at where he was, blew me away. I said, no wonder Sunday over there already. But you see, God has got this whole thing under control.
Amen. Amen.
I spun that globe around. I'm just musing with you a bit here. And I saw one spot where it was nothing but water. I couldn't even see a land mass at all. I said, wow. So it's that much water out there. It's amazing what God can do. It amazes me that you can look at that and then have the audacity to think you understand it and there is no God. How can you draw that conclusion when you look at the magnitude of what God made? How can something that big and massive be hurling through the universe and spinning in a perfect orbit all the time? That's a strange kind of a thing. Scientists don't really know the answer. They like to tell you they think they do. Yeah, we know all about carbon dating and the Big Bang. I said, you think there's a Big Bang? Wait till you go in the box without Jesus. Wait till you hit that box without the blood of Jesus covering you. You think you got a lot of degrees now? Wait till you see how many degrees you get when you go in that box without Jesus. It's going to be a serious thing. You don't want to go there. And the whole world, even though people are against God in our culture, which is the most blessed by God, has turned from God in the last 50 years as an entire people, even though it's like that, God is still in control. And he still blesses those who believe him. He still gives you peace in the midst of all the troubles that you might receive as a result of being in a world where people ignore God. And he says, if you walk by faith and not by sight, in other words, believe what I tell you no matter what you see, you do what I say in my word. And I mentioned this in Sunday school, and I have to say it tonight, right now, that the word of God has been in the world every second that anyone in this room has existed on the planet. Every second. The whole word has been in the world every second that you've been in the world. You know, that blows me away. When, before I was born, before I was conceived, the word of God was here. And God doesn't change. You know what? It took me a long time in the years after I got here to decide I need to pick up this word and get into it to find out what thus saith the Lord. And I still haven't exhausted my understanding of it. I'm going to stay in it as long as I'm here. That's the agreement that I made with God. I'm going to do like you said, Lord. You said in your word, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to study. Because I have learned a lot of things by walking in the word and understanding what the word says. And you know what? I wish I knew it better. I wish I'd gotten started earlier and wouldn't have wasted so much of my life. Yeah. Fooling around with hogwash that wouldn't help me at all. Yeah. A lot of it took me astray. The devil wants you in something that'll take you astray. Yeah. He wants you in something that won't bless your life. He wants you to receive judgment and damnation like he's getting. There's no way he can be redeemed. Did you know that?
Yeah.
People always ask, can Satan repent? No, he can't. It's too late for him. God has not prepared relations of salvation for any angels. Did you know that? No angels are planning in God's plan for redemption. But God has planned to save man. You and me. He loves man. That's why the angel said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou takes notice of him? You know, they wonder, why are you so interested in these people who are a little lower than us? Man is lower than the angels in the order of creation. And once the angels fell out, a third of them went with Satan, and they could never be redeemed. But he prepared salvation for me and you. He took on our likeness and came into the world in order to deliver us from the curse of sin. Sin was disobedience by our federal father, if you will, Adam, who sinned and crashed the whole human family into sin. That's because the life of all flesh is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. God said, and I pour it out upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. He says, I'm going to redeem mankind. How am I going to do it? He made a promise with his son in eternity past when they were face to face. Jesus was face to face with God. One with the Father. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit make up what we call the Godhead, as the Bible teaches it. The triunity of the Holy God, who is. And Jesus said that he would make a way for man. He made a promise that he would go down and redeem mankind from their sin.
Yes.
Even before sin happened. See, this lets you understand that their God has never been tricked. Satan didn't do something to surprise God. Adam didn't do anything that God didn't know about. God is all-knowing and all-powerful. The heavens declare his glory. And the firmament shows his handiwork. In other words, look around at the stuff God made. And don't come up with a ridiculous notion that it happened from an accidental explosion. Are you kidding me? That's utterly insane. I mean, you can just look at a human body. It has so many different things going on in it. It's unbelievable. If you can say that this happened out of an accident, it all came into perfection, that doesn't make sense. None of the rest of the accidents that I've seen have come into perfection. Usually when there's an accident, stuff is blowing up, coming apart, and scattered everywhere, and it's a bloody mess. You know what I'm saying? Things don't come into perfection out of an accident. Somebody said it would be like if you threw a bomb into a junkyard and exploded into a 747. Well, you won't ever see that, I promise you. You know, if there's a 747, it took a lot of engineering to make that thing come together the way it is so it can be airborne. It's like flying a hotel through the air. You see, or something, got to be something supernatural. It's not going to happen as a result of an accident. And everything that God made has that kind of perfection in it. No matter what you look at, you can look at it. I was looking at an ugly little lizard. I said, man, this thing here is complicated. And he keeps reproducing after his own kind. You know, if you kill out a species, this is another proof. If you kill up everything, for example, they said the humpback whale disappeared after a while, they had to start making it an endangered species. Well, if they blow out of accidents, why are they going away if you're killing them all? Why is it that they become extinct and you can't make anymore? See, because they didn't get made from an accident to start with. They were crafted by the Creator who made them be what they are. Now, I'm kind of getting off subject, but I just had to say that. Let me go there. But here I want you to understand as we wrap up this portion of our study that the Jews are the people that God chose after the world had been destroyed by the flood in the days of Noah, after man had decided to sin against God again, even though catastrophe had happened in the world. And what, the flood didn't even produce order in the world. It made a lot of stuff. I think that's the right reason that globe looks the way it does, because God sent a judgment upon it. The Bible seems to indicate that the landmass was all together at one time. And then after the flood, it got reconfigured, and it looks like a broken puzzle when you look at it. That's one of the greatest evidences that the flood took place. People like to deny the flood, but we find seashells frozen in the ice caps at the peaks of mountains. Now, how did something from sea level get up that many thousand feet up in the air frozen in the ice caps? Who did that? They go up there, chip that ice, has been frozen forever, it stays frozen. And you go chip it up and you melt it, and you find seashells and stuff came from the ocean floor on the mountaintop. How'd that happen? See, that's because it was covered with water, like the Bible says. So there's more proof that what God said is true than there is that what he said is not true. See, they have yet to find anything to disprove that it really is true. They keep looking. They want to look. Oh, let's see, what can we find? Why don't you find your Bible and read it?
Come on, Pastor.
Why don't you get on your face and worship the God who made the heavens and the earth? You know, instead of you stack up a million books and you still don't know anything. You know what? You're racing against time. Because you only got so many years to get it together. And God is allowing you to stay in this world even though you defy who he is. See, think about that. That's mercy. And that's grace. You could even say people who are against him are receiving his favor, because otherwise he could say, okay, you don't believe me? Boom, I'll wipe you out. But the problem is not on God's end. That's the thing you need to understand. The problem is in the sinful heart of the rebellious sinner who does not want to trust the God who made him. That's the problem. We have a problem in here. We're twisted. We're warped. We don't want to be accountable to somebody like that. Because I know I'm not going to stack up when I stand in front of you for you to judge me. Because you're perfect. Look what you did. Boy, that's an awesome response. You mean I got to account for all this stuff that I've been doing? Yes, you do. So I don't want you to exist. I'd rather just say you don't exist and act like you don't exist. And then I don't have to feel like one day I'll be accountable to you. That's the problem. See? And so people run away. But what God did was he came close. And he wrapped the whole world around Jesus Christ. He said, I want to redeem you. Now, I don't care if you don't believe in me. But I've shown you, I've given you evidence that I'm here. I blessed you to be in my world. You've had food every day, every time you needed it. You never starved to death, let's put it that way. You may not have eaten every single day. I missed a few days here and there. But I don't look like I missed very much, does it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's always made a way for me and for you. If you can hear my voice, he made a way for you.
That's right.
And you owe him something. You owe him praise and you owe him thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
But he made a way for you. I don't care what you went through. He didn't take you out.
That's right.
See, and he did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves you. And not only did I love you, but I knew there's no way. I'm going to speak for myself because I don't want nobody to see some. Folks might say, well, is he talking about me? No, I'm talking about me. You know, so I'm going to talk about myself. He let me be in the world doing my thing. I wasn't saying there was no God, but I wasn't doing that which was godly.
All right.
I wasn't trying to find out who is God. I wasn't seeking him. See? And he allowed me to be in the world like that for a long time. One day, it got so ridiculous the way things were in my life. I said, I need God. I need some help. My grandparents have told me about God. My parents told me about God. And the mess I'm in, I can't fix it. I figured it out. I can't fix the mess. I can't do anything about it. And it looks like it's about to get worse. That's what really scared me the most, was that I don't know what the future holds from where I'm at right now, because I'm not where I really want to be. And so, you know what I remembered, and y'all heard this before, and I hope I'm not boring you, but I remember what my grandmother said. She said to me before she died, because a lot of stuff I didn't understand, she handed me a needle and said, "Would you thread this?" And I said, "Why can't you do it?" And she said, "I can't see it." I said, "Your eyes look fine to me." When I was a little kid, I couldn't understand that her eyes couldn't see how to do that anymore. She was starting to get a little feeble. And I did it, and it was easy for me, and I handed it back to her, and she starts sewing. And we were talking. She said, "Son, if you ever need anything and you get where you can't handle it, call on the Lord. Call on Jesus." She told me that as a kid. And I didn't remember it until I was sitting in a jail cell. Had squandered all the goodness and the mercy that God had given me up to that point in my life. I had a job. I had a family. He blessed me with all of what anybody might want. And I went out doing foolishness. Wasn't thinking about God. Till it got me in trouble. When I was in trouble, I remembered what she said. And at that point, I called on the Lord from the depth of my soul. I said, "Lord, I need you right now, because it looks like all you blessed me with is about to go down the drain." You know what? He blessed me. And I didn't even really know he did it until months later. He started to show me, you don't need the stuff you're fooling with. The stuff you're messing with is ruining your life. It's threatening everything I blessed you with, and all the favor I gave you, all the mercy I gave you. You know, and so now you called on me. Damn, that's just what I needed. And he kicked right in and started working in my life. Got me off of drugs. Got me out from the kind of people I was hanging around with who were doing that evil element in the world.
Yes.
You know, brought me and took me through some stuff till next thing you know, I knew he loved me. He loves me. See, and he's bringing me through. He's getting me out of my mess.
He is. Thank you, Lord.
And it took a while. It didn't just pop overnight, boom, and I was back to normal. It took a long time. But God knew exactly what I needed to get me on the right track. And he provided everything I needed through that period. He humbled me and showed me that, you know, humility is better than what you're doing. You need to humble yourself, as Peter said, under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. God will pick you up and give you a testimony. He'll turn your mess into a testimony. And he's able to do that. So I found out God's been doing this for people for years. And people just don't acknowledge him. But we need to. Now, what I want to say here, getting back on track here, in Deuteronomy 28, this is toward the end of the time after the flood, after God has called out of the seed of Abraham the Jews, a people for his own possession. Abraham was a Gentile, Genesis chapter number 12. And God said, "Get out of your country. Come away from those people." Same thing he said to me when I called on him. "Come on away, Fisher. I'm going to fix your life. I'm going to help make you better. I'm going to show you what you've been missing. I'm going to teach you how to walk by faith." And he drew me away from the people I was dealing with, just like he did Abraham. Called him away from Ur of the Chaldees. "Get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred, and come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him that blesses you and curse him that curses you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God promised Abraham, the Chaldean Gentile, that "I'm going to make multitudes of people out of your seed." He didn't even have any seed. He made an impossible promise to him. God will make an impossible promise to you. Whatever it is that you lack in your life, he says, "I have what you need, and I can multiply it in your life. I can make your life overflow into a blessing to other people's life if you just walk with me." Come away from whatever you've been dealing with, whatever was your mainstay, that thing you leaned and depended on. Don't count on that. Count on me. Walk with me by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to show you greater blessings in your life. I'm going to show you how to walk the peaceful path of favor. Walk in my favor. Walk in my grace. God wants us all to walk in his favor and in his grace. Now, does that mean, oh, I'm not going to have any more trouble ever again? No, it doesn't mean that. It means no matter what you're going through, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. That means up or down. Whether you got trouble, whether you got health, whether you got sickness, whatever you're going through, I am with you always, even through the end, to the end of the world. Now, that could either be the end of my world or the end of the world, either way. Whichever comes first, I don't know. And I'm good, whichever one. You know, it's all right with me. Because I'm getting to think like Paul. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Now, when he takes me out, I'll stop sinning entirely at that point. Sin won't be a problem for me anymore. I won't have to grapple with it every day. And be concerned about it in my life. I won't have to watch it destroy other people every day. I won't have to see the damage that it does in the lives of those who embrace it. You see? And so really, that'll help you. But I'm not trying to get out of here any quicker than the Lord wants me. I want to let you know that. I want to stay. I'm enjoying walking in this peaceful path of favor. Because I like to see how God can use an undone wretch to bless somebody else. That's an amazing thing to me. To watch how he can take somebody that's undone and bring you to a point where you can help somebody else. You can bless somebody else. Somebody else can understand the grace and the favor God has put on your life and it causes them to do better. I love that. I really do. That's become one of my highest joys in life. Now, what happened? God multiplied Abraham, as you know, the story goes. I'll cut to the chase here. And toward the end of this time, after God called Abraham, he multiplied him three generations through Isaac, through Jacob, into 12 tribes. They were incubated, I like to use that word, in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen. Abraham got the story from God. He told him that your seed will become be taken into a foreign land. And they'll be persecuted down there for 430 years. Actually, I think it says 400 years. And then he says, and after that time, I'll bring them out into the land of promise. And in the meantime, you go on your way. He told Abraham, go your way. So Abraham was 75 when he was called. He got to see his son and his grandson and the tribes multiplied in the last 100 years of his life. God kept him on the earth for 100 years after he began to walk with him.
Wow.
I said, God, give me 100. That'll be great. I'll take that. And it don't have to be. It's up to him. It's his decision, not mine. But, you know, as many years as God gives you after you start to walk with him, God makes your life productive.
Yes, he does.
He gives you peace in your heart.
Yes, he does.
You may be in an atmosphere of oppression.
Yes, he does.
You may be in an atmosphere that's not pleasing.
Yes, he does.
You may have all kinds of stuff coming
yes,
against
he
you.
Does.
But he gives you peace in your heart.
In your heart.
See, and so this is what I mean when I'm saying walking the peaceful path of favor. The favor is from God. God is going to bless everything you touch, one way or another. It may not, doesn't mean everything's going to be good necessarily, but God's going to give you the bitter and the sweet, and he'll be with you in it all. That's why he told David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I shall fear no evil. He didn't say there's not going to be any evil. I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, God's rod and his staff, that's a way of saying my word and the judgments and the statutes and the things that I teach you, they're going to comfort you as you go through trouble, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You will fear no evil. God says, for I am with me. David said, you are with me, God. You're going through with me. It's not me by myself. I don't ever feel like I'm alone because God says, I'm going to be with you even in trouble. As he says in the Psalms, through the psalmist.
Right.
And so he blessed Israel, brought them through all their enemies, delivered them out of Egypt from people who hated them through the Red Sea on dry land.
Yes.
And brought them into the wilderness, and he brought them there to test them and to teach them righteousness, as we were looking at in our lesson this morning. And when the time had passed after they had finally grown up a little, God wants you to mature in him. He doesn't want you to be spiritual babies all your life. He wants you to be able to chew on a steak at some point and understand some deeper things about God. You know, I'm going to bless you and take you through. I'm going to feed you milk and bread to start with, but eventually I want you to be able to digest a steak. You know, and so you need to grow up in the Lord and start to ascend to the higher things that God has for you. Now, Moses writes this. It's toward the end of his life, and we don't have time to talk about the Moses, the man of God. Of course, you know, he was 40 years old in the first segment of his life until he murdered an Egyptian. And then he fled for 40 years, was a fugitive on the backside of the desert in the land of Midian. God sent him back to Egypt after 40 years at the age of 80. And he told him to go to the most powerful man on earth, tell him, let my people go, that they may come and worship me. You know, and that would be like me going up to Obama saying, Obama, stop all that hogwash and turn back everything back the way God said. They're like, what? Where, who are you? Arrest this man. That's probably what they say. Take him away. He might throw you under the jail. You know, and but Moses went to the most powerful man at that time, who was the Pharaoh of Egypt. Here he's at the end of that last 40 years. He's been the leader of Israel. He's brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. He's taken them through the wilderness for 40 years. And he's close to the end of his time to check out and go and be with God. He says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Listen to that. And these blessings, all these blessings, shall come to on thee and overtake thee. God said, I'm going to overtake you with blessings if you learn how to walk by faith. Listen to my word and obey it. Let it put some steps into your feet when I tell you something. Get busy and get it done. He said, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But thou shalt be, he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. No matter where you go, you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's your children and the people who proceed out of your body, your grandkids. The fruit of thy ground, anything that you set your hand to make produce for yourself. And the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine and thy flocks and thy sheep. This could be your bank accounts and your stocks and whatever else it is now. Yeah. This will relate to the same type of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. He says, and blessed be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You're going to come in and go out under a blessing. You're going to be walking the peaceful path of favor, God's favor. Thou shalt cause thine enemies to rise up. The Lord, he says, shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee. They wonder why I'm trying to take them out, but God keeps on blessing them, keeps on picking them up. You know, that could be creditors and all kinds of other stuff that might be encroaching into your life. God says, I can get rid of them. I'll smite them if they mess with you because you belong to me. And he said, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise, they rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, but flee before thee seven ways. He said, I'm going to send them out seven doors. They came in one, and they're going to be going out through the windows and every other kind of way, trying to get out. The Lord shall cause your enemies. I love that. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hands to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. Amen. See that? God has sworn, I will bless my people.
Yes.
If they are diligent to do my word. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Mm-hmm. Now look at this. This is one reason why. You want to know, why would God bless me like that? Because he promised he would, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. People are a little scared to mess with you.
Yes.
But he wants you to affect everybody in the world.
Yes.
A little fear will come over them when they're trying to deal with you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you diligently walk according to what the Lord says. That's favor and mercy and grace that God puts on your life. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Keep this in mind, because he is writing from the prison. That means I don't have to have everything going my way. He writes from the prison. He's being persecuted because he preached the gospel of Christ. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody might preach the gospel now, and you might be thrown into prison. Who do you think you are? That was not politically correct.
All right.
what you said. You have violated FEMA and this, that, and the other, and whatever. They got all kind of different stuff. Now, the HIPAA law. I said, well, I'm working on the Potamus law. I'm just kidding. Bad joke. But in either case, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul says, rejoice. Here's the one being imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. Let your moderation, in other words, you do more than necessary. You go out of your way to do things right. Let it be known unto all men. I want you to know about my God. I'll go out my way. To let you know that God is the one who blessed me with favor and grace and mercy. And he's the one who is my resource and my source. He provides for my needs. I don't have to worry about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, you can tell that to people in a boldness. But he says be careful here in the old King James. That means don't be anxious. The Greek word is amarimnos. Don't let something go circulating around in your head again and again. The worst is going to happen. You just chew on it over and over and over and over. Don't do that. That's why they say don't be careful. In other words, don't keep on thinking about it again and again, the possible impending doom that's about to fall on you. So some of the newer translations says be anxious for nothing. Don't let some press you into anxiety. The word anxious is where we get the word anxiety. Don't let it put mental pressure on you. Stuff in the world. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because you have the privilege of prayer. But in everything by prayer. See that? Talk it over with God when you start to feel anxiety and pressure. With prayer and supplication. Supplication is a type of prayer where I ask God, supply what I need here, Lord. I may not even know what it is. You ever have a situation in your life that I don't even know what I need? This is threatening me, God, and I have no idea what I need. But I cast it up on you. I know you know everything. You can do anything but fail. And I don't need to lose any sleep over this. Because the Lord God of Israel sleepeth not, neither does he slumber. You up all night, God. Let me get some rest tonight. You know, let me lay down and sleep. You worry about it, oh God. Not that it's a worry to you because it's easy for you. Give God praise for it. That's what it says here. In everything by prayer and supplication. Ask God to supply what you need. With thanksgiving, thank him. You know why? Because he already promised you. I'm going to bless you. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it'll be open. You know, if you don't ask, you have not. Because you asked not. You didn't ask. You know, your kids ever want something and then they get mad at you because you didn't give it to them. And you say, well, you didn't even ever ask me. If you asked me, I didn't even know you wanted that. But you have not because you asked not. And you ask, he said, don't ask for the wrong reason, but ask for the right reason. And when you do, thank God for what you ask. Obedience to God has always has had its rewards. See, just because God forgives sin, I don't want to abuse that. Right. It's more of a reward if I do the right thing. If I choose to come against that thing, which is against his will, and do the right thing, he can give me even more favor, more grace, more mercy, more blessing. So it has had its rewards, and not just those things that are material or physical, but even more so spiritual blessings that are priceless and worth more than money can buy. There's a lot of spiritual blessings that are priceless. You know, when you pray and you see God move and move something out of somebody else's life because you ask, oh boy, you can't give me enough money. Woo. I just thank God that you are that kind of God. That you can take something that's insurmountable for somebody else and fix it. Because I interceded on their behalf. Yes, and I get to praise you and thank you for what you did.
Thank you.
For somebody else. So since God has promised us to walk with him and be blessed in every possible way, that's what he said the result is when you walk with him, why should we ever indulge ourselves in the practice of complaining? Boy, that's a hard one. We were talking about it on Tuesday at the Bible study. It's hard not to complain. You know, it's easy to slip into the flesh and just start telling your little story about how bad everything is. When I get this, that, and the other, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Every time I try to do this, that, or the other, it just never works. And you go through all your little pity party. Don't do that. Instead, take that energy and praise the Lord. Take that energy and bless God. Pray. Ask him to do something. He said, I will. I'll supply what you need. Don't complain. You wasting breath complaining. Why don't you take that breath and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I need you right now, God. I need you to move this thing out the way. I need you to bring this thing in so I can move forward and get your work done. Ask for the right reason. Don't complain. Use that energy toward approaching God to do something about it. You weren't complaining. Who does that go to? Who receives that? People around you, oh, here he come again. You know. Oh, I don't even look. See, you calling. Oh, my God. They're calling to complain some more. And you don't even want to talk to them. You can drive folks away with a bunch of complaints.
Sure can.
You know, and instead, use that energy in a positive way to approach God about what you really need. See? And so, why should we indulge ourselves in the practice of complaining? How about jealousy over the progress of others? Or even the appearance of when others who don't even know God seemingly are blessed more than we. Oh, Lord, look at those evil folks over there. They're getting blessed. They got what they need. Boy, that really burns us up, doesn't it? Rather than giving God praise at all times, no matter what's going on around you. Praise him about everything. We must realize that the immeasurable blessing of having the privilege of prayer that was given to us by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to give us access to God for anything that we want or need, so that instead of dissatisfaction about the way things are now, we can have rejoicing about the promises that God has made to us in so much abundance that we do not even have room to receive them. He said, I'll give you more blessings than you have room to receive. He said, for example, with the tithe, bring the tithe into the storehouse to see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive it. You know, that's what God said. Prove me now. Test me. You want to test somebody, check me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. And pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive it. And constantly be living in appreciation of the fact that we have not gotten what we really deserve. That's what I keep thinking about. I can't be worried about a lot of stuff because God didn't give me what he should have gave me. You know, we don't like the truth like that, do we? Well, suppose he gave me what he really deserved, what I really deserve. I don't want that. Look, thank you for your mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your favor, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for not giving me what you should have, what you could have.
Thank you.
Would have been perfectly right if you shut me down in the midst of my situation. You know, so I thank him for that. So, and what we really deserve for the multitude of our transgressions against him, instead of that, what we therefore we ought to happily continue to walk the peaceful path of favor. God wants you to walk in his favor and his blessing. That starts when you put your trust in him. Those who believe in him, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand all. You know what? You would be just like God if you could understand God. And I realize he's so high above me, all I can do is exalt him and give him praise. See, you got a God you can understand, that ain't the right one, let me tell you. Yep, you can understand him, but he's got to be awfully little.
That's the right one. That's a good one.
But I can see that he's around, it's obvious. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you. But you know what? He does not want to force his way into your life. Because that love doesn't do that. Love says, I believe you, I trust you, I want to be with you, and I come to you because I love you. Y'all know, this one I've said before, and I'm going to shut my mouth. If you have to chain somebody up to keep them, they don't want you. You might as well let them go, because as soon as they get loose, bam, I'm out of here.
That's it.
You know, you need somebody that's going to be with you because I want to be with you.
That's right.
That's what you want. That's real love.
That's right.
You know, I'm here because I want to be with you.
That's right.
And I'm coming back because I want to come back here and be with you. You don't need a ball and chain.
That's right.
See, God doesn't want you like that either. He wants you to come because you know it's right.
Right.
And so we give you that opportunity. I want you to know God prepared a way for you long ago. And he put it, an indelible mark on it in time.
Yes.
It's 2016 because he sent his son out of eternity into time about 2,016 years ago in order to give you the right to eternal life. He sent Jesus to pay the debt for all your sin. And if you don't have him in your life, it's not his fault. If you thought something else was God, I hope you don't think that anymore. Because God has one son. He has given him, and he alone can save you from your sin. He's the only one on record that got out of the grave and stayed out of the grave. He raised Lazarus out of the grave, but he had to go back. He came back to a regular mortal flesh. Jesus got up out of the grave in an immortal body. See, and ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God.
Yes.
To make intercession for me and for you if you trust
Thank
in him.
You, Lord. Thank you.
And if you believe him, the Bible says you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life.
Yes, Lord.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants you to be saved. He will not force his way into your life. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man come in unto me, in other words, you come and open the door, I'll come in. But he's not coming in unless you open the door. So if you want Christ in your life, I invite you right now. We offer Christ to you. He wants you. He wants to be in your life. He loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
But he won't force his way in. He's at the door. If you open the door, I'll come in.
Yes.
If you keep the door closed, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open for Christ today? Will you let him into your life? He doesn't want to barge in. You know, a lot of people like to crash parties and all that kind of stuff. Jesus won't crash your party.
That's right.
But you need to crash his. Come on in right now. He's telling you, my door is open. I stand here with arms wide open to receive you. And to as many as received him, the Bible says, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name.
Yes.
As many as receive him, if you receive him today, let us all stand right now. We'll have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for your awesome word. God, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. There's no other but him. He is the only representative that you have sent. No other way to be saved. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so, Father, if there's any in this room today who does not know you and the partner of their sin, they're opening that door in their heart now, God. Go right in. You know who they are, Father. We ask you to bless them with salvation. We ask you to be with them, God. Give them that peace that passeth all understanding.
Touch, Lord.
You said today, O God, in your word, that as many as receive you, you give the right to be called the children of God.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, we just thank you for your word.
Thank you.
Thank you for your mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for forgiving us, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. You said you would send the Spirit to dwell in everyone who trusts in you, Lord. Teach us to yield to the Holy Spirit, Lord. So many times we grieve your Holy Spirit, Lord. We apologize right now, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. But we ask you, lead us and guide us, O God, by the Holy Spirit. Teach us to be sensitive to his will, his desire, O Lord, and not to press for our own way. We bless you now, God, for those that you might be saving in this room. That's your business, God, not mine. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, that you raised from the dead and seated at your right hand. Bless today, God. Somebody else needs you to fix something in their life, Lord. Whatever it is, fix it, oh God. And they'll come back and give the glory and tell the testimony of what you
Lord.
Have done.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
I thank
Lord.
You, God, for so many repairs that you have done in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, some things I don't even know how to fix, so I'm going to ask you now while we're in
thank
prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Come right in, God. I give you access to my mind,
thank
to my
you,
word,
Lord.
My thoughts. And everything, God.
Thank
just come
you,
into my life, Lord, and fix me, oh
thank
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Fix that stuff that's broken, oh God.
Yes, Lord, right
repair
now.
The breaches, oh God, that are in my spirit, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
That I might be a true man of God, walking
yes,
by faith and not by sight.
Yes, Lord.
Give me the desire to meditate in your word day yes, and night so I can be like a tree yes. planted by the rivers of water to bring yes. forth its fruit in the season.
Yep.
Help me, oh God, today that my leaf will not wither. And whatever I do will prosper.
Yes,
bless the people who are praying that prayer now, God.
Yes, Lord.
In the room, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion and power now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen.
Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
And just before you dismiss, if you'd like to consider a membership with St. Timothy MB Church, we give you the opportunity to do that as well. Amen. Sometimes people are saved.